If you're like most people, you believe that everybody lives forever somewhere. That once you die, your soul goes somewhere. Most Americans say they believe in heaven, and a smaller percentage say they believe in hell. In other parts of the world, the prevailing belief is that the soul comes back around for another lap. We just start over as someone or something else. In spite of all their differences, the religions of the world share one common denominator. How you live your life on this side of the grave determines what happens next. Western thought has all the quote-unquote good people going to heaven. Here's something to think about. If God appeared to you and asked, "Why should I let you into heaven?" How would you answer? If you're like most people, your answer might sound like, "I've always tried to." "I never. I do my best." Most people believe good people go to heaven. The moral? Behave yourself now, and you don't really need to worry too much about what happens next. The end. Now let's get back to work. Golf, Little League, PTA, you know, the more pressing issues of life. As good as you are, and you know, you are probably pretty good, most aren't really sure they have been good enough. You hope so. And you're certainly better than, well, you know, than certain people you've known. Visiting the homeless shelter, you might say to yourself that you're at least better than them. And if you go to the wealthy part of town, you may think you're not as good as those. We're always measuring ourselves and others, but according to what standard? Where'd you get those rules to measure by? This is Outposts, a live broadcast from the late night cascading banks of the Ocklawaha River, where the trees gently lean over the river's edge and every evening is pleasant. On a side note, this week at Outposts, we've got a medium latte, 2-for-1 special. When you come in, ask for Jerry or Rick. Tell them I sent you. Tonight's topic is mostly quoted from Andy Stanley's little powerhouse of a book, How Good is Good Enough? Small books sometimes make a big change. On the table for contemplative conversation is the idea that Christianity is so unfair. What do you think about that? Does your eternal residence hang in the balance based on how you live? Put your ears on, sit back, and relax, and I'll return in a moment. I'll be the first to admit that the whole Christianity thing would be so much more palatable if it weren't so elitist. The way, the God, through the one and only Savior. How can anybody be so dogmatic? As a Christian, I squirm when confronted with the exclusivity of Christ's claims. A lot of Christians do. On the surface, the whole thing seems outrageously unfair. But then again, on the surface, the good people go to heaven view seems so fair that it is rarely debated. In case I lose you this evening, let me go ahead and give you the punchline for the remainder of our time. Christianity is the fairest possible system in a world of irreversible unfairness. It is certainly more fair than a system predicated upon adhering to a list of rules we can't find anywhere and created by a God who hasn't had the courtesy to explain the system. Let's talk about fairness and truth for a moment. To dismiss Christianity because it is unfair is to assume that something must be fair in order to be true. Think about it. If, after examining the claims of Christ, you conclude that Jesus could not have been telling the truth because what he says is unfair, then you are using fairness as a test for truth. To me, the idea of fairness is a very, very subjective measuring tool. For most people, choosing a religion is like choosing a flavor of ice cream. We pick what we like, what we are comfortable with, or what suits our taste. I understand that, but honestly, it's not very smart. The issue is not what do I like, or how was I raised, or what makes me comfortable. The issue is what is true. Once you decide people live forever, somewhere or other, you are staking your eternity on what you choose to believe is true. Obvious as that may be, I have talked to dozens of people who flippantly cast aside the claims of Christ because they are deemed unfair. People express their opinions in a variety of ways, but essentially what they are saying is, Christianity is unfair, therefore I don't believe it is true. And if, at the end of this broadcast, you are not convinced that Christianity is fair, it still says nothing about whether or not it is true. Fairness does not determine truth. Let that stick to you. Fairness does not determine truth. Thank you. Is Christianity true? You must decide that for yourself. If you decide God is right, then I say, act like it. The problem is, there are a dozen variations on the theme. There's the Islamic version, the Mormon version, the Hindu version, the Orthodox Jewish version, and the list goes on and on ad nauseum till the stomach turns. Each claims to have the correct list of things you must do to please God. Christianity is different. The initial appeal is not fairness, but forgiveness. In fact, Christianity is based on the premise that God laid aside fairness and opted for mercy and grace instead. Life is not fair. Life will never be fair. Life can't be fair. When people complain about something not being fair, it's almost always a smokescreen for the fact that they are not getting something they want. Many of us walk around pretending to be the fairness police, but typically we only play our fairness card when it is to our advantage. A fellow told me a story that went like this. He said, I watched a dad at a ball game who was standing behind home plate watching his son pitch in the last inning. The game was a tie so far, of course. Bases loaded, 3 balls, 2 strikes. The pitcher threw the ball, but it was 4 inches off the outside. The dad dropped his head, knowing his son had just walked the batter. But the umpire yelled, strike! I heard the man say under his breath, thank you, Jesus, without even the slightest move to yell at the umpire about what a lousy call that was. When the man finished telling me the story, I thought about how the fellow in the story was content with mercy and didn't mind the umpire's call, which was wrong, as long as it was in his son's favor. We were doing church at jail one time, and I asked the room a question. How many here believe good people go to heaven? Everyone raised their hand. I then asked, where did you get your standard of what is good and what isn't, in order to decide how good you have to be in order to qualify as a good person? The room was silent, with everyone looking around like deer in the headlights. We rarely expend much emotion demanding fairness when we get more than we deserve. Occasionally, we object to the unjust treatment of others, or that we may be willing to sacrifice our own time, some, but most of the time we are content to simply feel concern, and that is good enough. Is Christianity fair? Absolutely not. The God of Christianity never claims to be fair. He goes beyond fair. The Bible teaches that He decides not to give us what we deserve, and that is called mercy. In fact, God decided to give us exactly what we don't deserve. We call that grace. Is Christianity fair? If we take the Bible seriously, the last thing we would want is for God to be fair. Thank you. God sees our sin as a debt we can't pay, there is no point in asking us to. To think that being good will somehow make us square with God would be like asking a child to clean their room as compensation after they have completely vandalized the family car. Cleaning up a room doesn't even begin to pay back or fix the damage to the car. It's a nice gesture, but it doesn't fix the car. When a fellow son was little, he was playing Indian in his room. He had on all his Indian clothes. His bow and arrows were in place, and he made a teepee out of a bedsheet. Things changed quickly, though, when he decided he needed a campfire in order for all his fun to be accurate. The man said he had come in for lunch when he smelled the first wisps of smoke. Alarm surged through the man, and he followed his nose right to the boy's room. Fortunately, the fire had only gotten started, and it only burned the floor a little. He was so crazy mad. But then the man said the Lord gripped him and said, "Think. What are you going to do? Make him, a little boy, pay to fix the floor?" He had no job, no means of paying anything, and he had no context for understanding what had just happened. The Lord continued, "It would be fair to demand he pay. Yes, fair, but very unrealistic. What does $300 to $400 mean to a 4-year-old? What are you going to do in this situation? Demand payment? Sever the relationship? Rant and rave? Beat this little kid all over the backyard? He has no idea." I wondered to myself what I would have done. Christianity teaches that when man sinned, God opted for forgiveness rather than fairness. God could choose to kill us all or save us all, and he opted for grace and mercy rather than justice. What God offers us is more than fair. A New Testament writer explained it this way. "You see, at just the right time, when we were all still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." Powerless means we could not do anything about our condition. The reason good people don't go to heaven is because there aren't any. There are only those who have fallen short of good, and that is all of us. Granted, some aren't as bad as others, however you measure such a thing, but everyone falls short. Good people don't go to heaven, but forgiven people do. Ah, now there's something I can grip. Romans 5, 8 to 11. But God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. What could be more fair? Is Christianity fair? I think you'll have to decide that for yourself. For me, though, I've come to the conclusion that it is beyond fair. Consider, everybody is welcome. Everybody gets in the same way. Everybody can meet the requirement. I call the book of John the book of whomsoever, due to the most quoted verse from the Bible, John 3:16 to 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Whosoever includes everyone who is willing, and the Lord extends his invitation to all of mankind. Believing in him is the only requirement. Believing means placing your trust in the fact that Jesus is who he claims to be. Believing means to stand firm about something we hold as true. Who do you say he is? Think about it. Thanks for joining me this evening here at Outposts, a semi-live broadcast of contemplative conversation and cool jazz. Brought to you by Living in His Name Ministries, Kevin, Perry, and Tommy of the Mebane Freedom League, Hilltop Boots and Shoes on Main Street, the Candy Cottage in Salmon, Idaho, Sisters Coffee Company in Sisters, Oregon, and our beloved friends at Trinity Bakers, makers of fine confectionaries, where there's always something good in the oven. Music was by the Pete Minger Quartet, Andres Wohlenweider, John Schofield, Al Dimiola, Vinnie Colita, and Bill Bruford. All music is licensed by BMI. The ultimate question is not, is Christianity fair? But more importantly, is Jesus who he claimed to be? In other words, is Christianity true? The word gospel means good news, and the good news is good people don't go to heaven. There aren't any. Forgiven people do. Is Christianity fair? Absolutely not. It's more than fair. It's over the top, beyond the universe, past infinity and back, more than fair. Watch out for the other guy this week. Spend some time in prayer. Be open and honest with God and your friends. In fact, make a new friend this week. Things are indeed getting better for those who love the Lord. I'll talk to you next time. Amen.